Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, September 28th, 2015. With me today, Brian Chaffin. How's it going, hey, Brian?
Apparently, surprisingly. What?
Surprisingly. Also, Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's great to have both of you on the show, and I'm sure it's going to come as a big surprise to everyone, considering this is the first day after Apple's iPhone 6S launch weekend. I want to talk about the iPhone 6S.
What an interesting idea you have there.
Works for me.
Yeah. So for those of you that might not be up to speed on current events, the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus officially went on sale on Friday the 25th. And then through the weekend, everyone was buying their iPhones and or getting their deliveries and having a wonderful time with them for the most part. And so the new phones look like the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, but on the inside, they're a lot different because they now have A9 processors. They have an improved motion sensor. They have 12-megapixel EyeSight camera and 5-megapixel FaceTime camera as opposed to 8-megapixel and 1.2-megapixel. So big increase in the megapixel counts on the cameras. There's a new sensor in the screen that uses a thing called 3D touch. So we have a new way of tapping and touching our screen. There's also a Taptic Engine built in, which at first glance you'd think, oh, well, it's just a different vibrate motor. It's a very different vibrate motor. I was shocked by how different it is. And it's a little bit heavier and slightly larger, but you can't hardly tell. And the cases you have for your current iPhone 6 and 6 Plus will fit on these new iPhones.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for having us, Jeff.
There you go.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll see
be here all week.
Tomorrow. Yep, be here all week. All right, so that's the quick rundown. Now, I'm curious, what are the first impressions that you guys have with the new phone?
It's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed a crazy speed improvement just right off the top. Touch ID is so fast now that my old habit of hitting the home button to wake up my phone, I can't do that anymore because
yeah. I'm gonna have to change that too.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how we all feel about that a week from now because there is this change, right? We were existing iPhone users and specifically Touch ID iPhone users, right? So we had learned the speed at which we needed to remove our finger or thumb from the Touch ID sensor so as to wake the device up, but to push the button to wake the device up without unlocking it with Touch ID. What we're talking about here is that with the new Touch ID sensor that Apple has in the 6S series, the amount of time you need to leave your finger or thumb on there is so short that the act of lifting your thumb off the button while the button is coming up is often enough to completely unlock the device, which means all the notifications, if you had any on your lock screen, are dismissed. And so I'm curious if a week from now we're all still having that problem or if we've sort of relearned our device. And my guess is that we will remain, that this problem will remain. And I think Apple should, if there are notifications on the lock screen, unlocking the device should not make that screen go away. It should turn that screen from a locked screen into a screen where you can swipe to make it go away. So essentially unlocking the phone and leaving that screen up while you look at the messages that have been left for you there and then dismissing them to make them go away.
I would like that a lot.
Yeah,
it would.
I don't know.
Nice
a week from now, yeah, exactly. A week from now, I might feel differently about that. But initially, certainly, that was the thing. It was like, hey, well, but the thing is, I've had this issue far less frequently with my iPhone 6 Plus, which is the one I had prior to this. So it's not a new issue, but it's certainly more frequent now. So sure. I think this is a problem that has existed, and this simply exacerbates it. But But I like the, I mean, I like the speed of the unlock, right? So, I mean, it's awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's more reliable and all of that stuff. Although it was pretty good on the last ones. This is way better. So,
yeah, I thought the unlock time for Touch ID on my iPhone 6 was great. And then I get the 6 Plus, and in comparison, the 6 suddenly feels very sluggish to unlock. But it's not. It's just the 6 Plus, or excuse me, the 6S is that much faster.
Yeah.
Now, okay, have you played yet with talking to Siri while your iPhone is asleep, meaning the screen is off?
Yes, but I had that feature turned off on my old phone. So when I migrated my backup to this, it was still off. Because you could do that. You could talk to Siri while your phone was off as long as it was powered. And now with these...
And now it doesn't need to be powered.
It doesn't need to be powered. Right. And I found that sort of annoying. But I may turn it back on. I found the Hey Siri thing extremely valuable in the car, especially with the new phone. So, yeah, I might change that, my tune on that.
I turned it on for my 6S simply because... I really wanted to try it out now. I'd always just left it off.
Yeah.
And one of the things that got me thinking I really want to try this out was where it had me do the voice recognition training. So when other people say, "Hey Siri," around me, my iPhone isn't going to wake up. And the funny thing is my iPhone just woke up and Siri's listening to everything I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. My son and I realized in the car last night there are two apps that I like to launch every time I get in the car. Automatic, which tracks my – I have the little thing that plugs into my car's – what is it? The EDB2. It's not EDB, but whatever that port is. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a passport or an Escort Passport Max 2 radar detector. And what I really – the best feature for that I like is that it shows me not only my speed calculated by GPS, but the speed limit of the road that I'm on. I don't tend to speed a whole lot when I know what the speed limit is, and it's just displayed right there on my dash, so it's a good thing. But I need the app running to do that. So I now tell Siri when I get in the car to launch both of those apps. I would like it to be smart like it is when you plug your headphones in and you're in one location and it knows what playlist you want. I want it to see that I've connected to the Bluetooth in my car and I want these two apps to run. But it doesn't right now. So
that would be cool.
So, but I do it with Hey Siri. And when I got in the car last night, with my son, he has a 6 now that was handed down to him this weekend. And of course we sound similar, which is no great surprise given the genetic similarities. And so my phone woke his up and his was trying to launch these apps that it doesn't have.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really funny.
But yes, for the most part, training it would be a good thing unless you hang out with your family a lot.
All right. So to go along with that, when I said my example where I will now say, "Yo, Siri," Siri listened to everything that I was saying and then did her best to parse it out, thought I was asking to play a specific song, went and found it at Apple Music and started playing it automatically. So I was frantically reaching for my iPhone to shut the song off so that you wouldn't hear that playing on the show.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Save us some royalties.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, Brian, any features standing out for you?
Well, the speed was the first thing that leapt out. I'm putting together a list of 3D touch capable apps because that was the thing I was most excited about checking out. And then we're also working on some articles about Live Photo, and quite frankly, I haven't had a lot of time to play with those yet. And that's, like I said, that's the thing that most interested me, and looking forward to digging into them.
I went over to my local farmer's market here in Boulder on Saturday because I figured there'd be lots of colors and movement and a lot of different things for me to experiment with the new camera. And what I found was using the Live Photo thing there where you have these large groups of people moving around is that it was cool, but at the same time surreal. It almost felt like I had a time machine window looking to some distant past where I was seeing some other long gone culture moving around in this kind of, well, I'll use the word again, surreal way. But it was really cool.
Hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with live photos when we get some really creative artists playing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of things you can do. And it's, you know, one thing I will remind people of is that you can move your camera while taking a picture too. Right. You don't, yes. Your camera does not have to be still while you're taking a picture. You'll have a better shot of getting a good picture. But if your point is to get an interesting live picture, moving the camera can be a very interesting effect.
That's a clever idea. Indeed. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just bear that in mind. I want to rewind a little bit for 20 seconds, maybe. There are two settings that we discussed, but we didn't tell you how to get there. So to decide whether or not you want that Hey Siri thing to work on your lock screen, you go into settings and touch ID and passcode. And in there at the bottom is allow access when locked. And there are five things: today, notifications, view Siri, reply with message, and wallet. I mentioned that I had Siri turned off. That's where I turned it off. So that's step one. And then there is also a setting for whether or not Hey Siri is available at all. Of course, now I start talking like this and I've got my phone open. And of course, it wants to show me
to hear
everything.
What song it's going to play for you.
Yeah, well, there's all that too. That's right. So now it's not going to let me pull that up. Where is that Siri stuff, Jeff?
All right. So
where do you turn on the Hey Siri thing?
I believe that's under, is that under privacy?
See, I don't think it is. I had it up and then it went away.
Hold on, I'm frantically looking.
It's under General Siri is where it is. Sorry. Yeah. So settings, General Siri, and then there's a slider for allow Hey Siri. And see, I can do that now because I found the screen and I have temporarily turned it off.
Okay. Now, here's a problem.
Yep.
Settings for Siri shouldn't be scattered across multiple preferences. You should be able to control all of Siri from one place.
Well, but there is that whole thing about the lock screen, and that makes sense under Touch ID and passcode once you know where that is. But I agree with you that it should find it. Well, but here's the other problem. You know, you can search in preferences now, and that's an iOS 9 thing. So anybody that has iOS 9 can search in preferences. But searching for the word Siri does not find it in the Touch ID and passcode section of the preferences. It finds it everywhere else.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So it's incomplete.
Well,
yeah,
kind of sucks.
Which I didn't realize until now as I was stumbling through this 20-second turned into 90-second segment.
But totally worth the time spent because now we know.
Now we know. And now you know too.
Yeah. Now I know too. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Now, another setting we were talking about earlier that people may want to change is the Wi-Fi assist setting. And that's the setting that it's in cellular, and you have to scroll all the way to the bottom. But the deal is if you have a crappy Wi-Fi connection and this feature is turned on, which it is by default, your iPhone will, without any warning, switch over to your cellular data connection to get whatever it is that you're trying to download, which could be a surprise if you aren't expecting to have your cellular data cap hit so hard.
Yeah.
Now, will it do that if, for example, I turn off, if I go into my, you know, phone settings, cellular, and then turn off cellular music for an app, right? It let's say I turn it off for Amazon Music, right? Mm-hmm. If I do that and I'm using Amazon Music on a weak Wi-Fi, and it decides it needs to fall over to cellular, will it not honor that setting? Because it seems to me like I get it that you think you're on Wi-Fi and we're going to let you do some stuff on cellular. But if I've said definitely don't ever, never, never, is it going to ignore that now? I don't know the answer.
I don't really think we have the answer to that, but yeah. I would be shocked if it were, if it did. I would be shocked if it ignored that setting.
I would too. That's the thing is, I see people complaining about this, but I'm confused as to what I kind of always assumed this would happen, right? If you're on a Wi-Fi network doing something and the Wi-Fi network drops, then I'm on a cellular network doing something. So
right,
I'm a little confused why people are so upset about the existence of this feature. I guess that people are saying, oh, it's going to cause me to, have a huge bill, and I get it. But I don't quite get it. Is that coming from evidence or ignorance? And I don't say that to be snarky. It's just efficient.
Okay, so my guess is, and keep in mind this is a guess, that yeah. the difference between Wi-Fi Assist and using cellular data for settings is that on using cellular data for, that kicks in only when you don't have a Wi-Fi connection.
Okay.
Whereas Wi-Fi Assist will kick in if you have a crappy Wi-Fi connection. So you may think you're on Wi-Fi,
but right.
not.
Okay. So you'll see the Wi-Fi symbol up there, but yeah, I guess that's where I'm still confused, and we just need more data, right, to understand this. But I grok why there's concern. I'm just a little confused as to the.
I think the big concern here is that it's not clear what's happening.
Yeah, we'll ask Apple. We can't promise they'll answer us, but we will ask them.
Yep, we can definitely ask.
Yep.
All right. Any other features that are really standing out for you guys?
I don't think so. I've been using the Wi-Fi calling. Speaking of this is sort of the cellular and Wi-Fi in reverse thing, and that's been splendid. It's not available in all areas, and I guess technically it's not available in mine, but it's turned on, so I've been happily using it, and it works just great.
That's awesome, and yep. I'm not getting why AT&T hasn't activated this everywhere.
Probably a system load testing thing would be my guess. You don't want to just...
Maybe, but don't you think that all the microcells that they've sold over the years would have handled that system load test for them already?
Well, but they know how many microcells they've sold, right? So it wouldn't...
Oh, that's a good point.
It wouldn't be a big deal for me to switch to it because it's effectively, and I don't know if this is the same on the back end, but essentially it's the same as having a microcell, right? You're taking your cellular signal and instead routing it over your IP connection, your internet connection. And that's what's happening with a microcell, and that's, in theory, what's happening with AT&T Wi-Fi. But it's as though, with this, it's as though they put microcells in everyone's hands and they don't know who's going to turn them on. So I can see where they may want to, stress test the system a little bit before it rolls out. But isn't that what the beta was for?
That's what I thought.
That's just nitpicking, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
That's me, Dave Nitpicker. I don't know. I think I might have just done something very dangerous, but that's okay.
you may have, and we will now leave that in the capable hands of our listeners.
Years ago, I called myself Dave the Nerd once, and that moniker has stuck. So, there we go. Dave the Nitpicker.
That's going to look great on your business card.
Hey, it actually, Dave the Nerd did, so I'm good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're running out of time, so I think this is a good place to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Yes, as always. And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Yep.
And listeners, if you have any favorite features that are really standing out for you in the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I will check all those places because I really want to hear what you have to say. So thanks for being with us again. We'll see everyone tomorrow.